these things, but I am free from all bodily conceptions. Consequently, I am neither fat nor skinny, nor anything else you have mentioned. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Deha Smriti Nahi Yar, Samsara Bandhana Kahatar. One who is spiritually advanced has no connection with the body or with the bodily actions and reactions. When one comes to understand that he is not the body and therefore is neither fat nor skinny, one attains the topmost form of spiritual realization. When one is not spiritually realized, the bodily conception entangles one in the material world. Jai Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan Ki Jai, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. At the present moment, all human society is laboring under the bodily conception. Therefore, in the Shastras, people in this age are referred to as Dvipad Pashu, two-legged animals. No one can be happy in a civilization conducted by such animals. Our Krishna consciousness movement is trying to raise fallen human society to the status of spiritual understanding. It is not possible for everyone to become immediately self-realized like Jad Bharat. However, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By spreading the Bhagavat principle, we can raise human society to the platform of perfection. When one is not affected by the bodily conceptions, one can advance to the Lord's devotional service. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. The more we advance our freedom from the bodily conception, the more we are fixed in devotional service, and the more we are happy and peaceful. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says that those who are too materially affected continues the bodily conception. Such persons are concerned with the different bodily symptoms, whereas one freed from bodily conception lives without the body, even in the material condition. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saritam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhesha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, I would like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I can speak on Srimad Bhagavatam for my purification. So, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, entitled Maharaj Rahugana Meets Jada Bharat. Translation says, fatness, thinness, bodily and mental distress, thirst, hunger, fear, disagreement, desire for material happiness, old age, sleep, attachment for material possessions, anger, lamentation, illusion, and identification of the body with the self are all transformations of the material coverings of the spirit soul. A person absorbed in the material bodily conception is affected by these things, but I am free from all bodily conceptions. Consequently, I am neither fat nor skinny nor anything else you have mentioned. So, this is the series where Maharaj Raghuna, actually his servants asked Jad Bharat to help him to take Maharaj Raghuna in palanquin. And yesterday we heard how Jad Bharat, since he was on Brahman stage, self-realized soul, he was very sensitive even to a sand, and while taking the palanquin, his more focus was on carrying the ants so that they should not be killed. And that caused distress or disturbance to the palanquin movement, and others objected and reported to the Maharaj Raghuna that this fourth fellow is not in sync with ours, so you can punish him or chastise him. And Maharaj Raghuna used many bad words and sarcastically glorified, but practically he wanted to tell him, you are useless fellow. And in response to that, because Jad Bharat is so realized soul, he very nicely, as yesterday Prabhuji was mentioning, he chose a right audience to speak what he has realized. Instead of his parents or relatives or brothers, he chose Raghuna Maharaj, since he is also on little higher stage, although because he is a king affected by mode of Rajoguna, but still has lot of knowledge and practice lot of shastras, since he is running such a huge kingdom. So here we can see that Srila Prabhupada is writing in a purport, a very first line, one who is spiritually advanced has no connection with the body or with the bodily actions and reactions. So when one is advancing in spiritual life, slowly he leaves his attachment to the bodily comforts. And at very early stage, which we see now the society is all about, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, they're laboring for accumulating more and more things, and they're living under the modes of material nature, increasing their possessions, increasing their upadhis, and slowly, completely living a sense gratification life based upon the their false identity because of false ego. And because of that, their desires are never satisfied. As we see in even Bhagavad Gita, Dhyayato Vishyan Pumsa, Sangaste Shupajayate, Sangha Sanjayate Kama, Kamat Krodho Abhijayate. Because of mode of the passion, they start desiring many things and then contemplating upon the objects. That contemplation creates a desire to achieve. Once they achieve that thing, they become greedy to get more and more. And once they don't achieve, they become angry and frustrated. So that's the nature of this material world. And everywhere in the society, from the leaders to everyone, because of their false ego and false identity with their body, everyone is leading towards this propaganda, which is very nicely done by this media, creating a lot of desires, creating a lot of promises for happiness. And because of so many desires, people always remain unsatisfied in the material world, because they have so many desires, practically they can't achieve them. And because once they achieve, they become greedy, and once they don't achieve, they become frustrated, angry, and destroy their own life also. As we see, wonderful example, like few years back, an 8-year-old girl, she was using a mobile, and she was so used to it, her exams came closer. So mother took away the mobile and she becomes so angry with the mother, practically she performs suicide. So because the desire to enjoy is so strong and so she is attached because of rajoguna to the mobile, so either she is greedy to use it more and more, and once that is not, that desire is not satisfied, that leads for the anger and then finally moha, the buddhi janasha, and then finally she performs suicide. So that is how the delusion comes and one performs, goes to the lower modes and perform nonsense things. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport very nicely that by spreading the Bhagavad principle, we can raise human society to the platform of perfection when one is not affected by the bodily conceptions. So this identity with bodily conception is very strong, and that is the reason why we see this all pharmaceutical company, cosmetic industry, that's flourishing. Because they advertise so nicely that people gets more and more desires. And we can see the ads like, you want to become a thin, 30-day package. You want to become fat, or you want to gain a weight, 30-day package. So for everything there is advertisement. Somehow or other, they don't want to be you in a satisfied mode. They want always in unsatisfied way, so that you can desire more and more. As Prabhupada also quotes that nice story that there was one house owner lady, and somehow she was very sick and she had a fever, so doctor came. So she had 103 Fahrenheit, and then her maid servant, she also had a fever, so she asked doctor to check her also, and the maid servant had 105. So the owner of the house, she said, how can she have 105? I am 103. I am the owner. I should have more than her. So that is how the materialist people, because of the modes and desires, they want to have more and more. They don't understand what is good and bad also. The temperature or fever is supposed to be a disease. But still, because of the rajoguna, people are after increasing disease more and more. So that is what happens in this material world. And that is why Srila Prabhupada is suggesting here, by spreading the Bhagavata principle, we can raise human society to the platform of perfection. When one is not affected by the bodily conception, one can advance to the Lord's devotional service. That is what Nanda Nashta Praish Vavadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtake. Srila Prabhupada also writes in the purport of same verse that there are two types of Bhagavatas. One is Grantha Bhagavat and one is Person Bhagavat. So every day taking shelter of Grantha Bhagavat is a facility here in the temple. But simultaneously taking shelter of a Person Bhagavat is equally important. Because by serving the Vaishnava, by serving the Person Bhagavat, one gets the mercy and blessings of a Vaishnava, and that is how, which allows us to get purified and slowly transcend the three modes and continue the devotional service in a steadily form. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport of that verse that by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with the transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So this is the secret, where by serving the Vaishnava Bhagavat, Grantha Bhagavatam, slowly heart is purified, the knowledge is enlightened, person comes to the stage where he understands the Shastras, I am not body, I am the soul. And when this realization comes, then he comes to the stage of the Brahman, where he is a pure devotee of the Lord. So we can see a few examples from the Shastras. How when one comes to the stage of Brahman, he is completely irrelevant to this material activities. Although he is acting, but still he is not acting. So story comes about the life of Janak Maharaj. One time some of the people from the prajas went to the Janak Maharaj, and they asked Janak Maharaj, Maharaj, how is that you are running such a huge kingdom so peacefully, and simultaneously you are such a pure devotee of the Lord? So how you manage us doing all activities in the material world? Like, there are so many activities to be done as a king, every day taking so many decisions, managing lot of political things, the economical issues, the issues of the society, everything. So how do you manage all these things? So Janak Maharaj says, okay, I will answer this question tomorrow. So he sends invitation to many of the sadhus for a special feast prasadam next day. So many saints, sadhus came because king has invited. They thought maybe there he wants to have some discussion or something. So first of all, Maharaj Janak Maharaj asked them to sit for a prasadam. Nice feast is being cooked. So everyone sits as per the instruction of the king, and others were guiding them. And there was nice sumptuous prasadam served to them. And everyone was ready with the prayers to have a, since king has invited and such nice food has been served. So everyone was ready to honor that, and just few seconds before eating, Janak Maharaj says, see where you have sit, just above that there is a sword tied with the thread, and that sword can drop at any moment. And everyone just saw upward, and they saw really there was sword on everyone's head above, and that's been tied with the thread, and that thread can break at any time, and that sword can cut the head of anyone at any time. And now King Janak Maharaj asked, now you can have a prasadam. Now it's a king's order, and they have to eat, because now it food has been already served, that cannot be like dishonored now. And they ate it like within few minutes, just they finish it, and then they left the place with the permission of the king. And then afterwards they washed their hands and come back, and then Maharaj Janak asked them, how was the food? How was the taste? Practically none of them could answer that, because they were not testing it. They were just gulping it to finish, because they were knowing that the sword is lying above the head, and that thread can broke at any time, and I can die at any moment. So how can they taste the food? They have to just finish it. They were just gulping it. None of them even tested it. They just finished it and went from the place. And then Janak Maharaj answered to everyone in a sabha, this is how I do all my managerial and the activities in the my kingdom. As you were eating, your whole focus was on the sword. You were actually practically not eating, you were just finishing, gulping it. In the same way, my mind is always attached to the lotus feet of Lord. So, the keeping my mind connected, attached to the Lord, I just do my activities as you were eating. So, my mind is always focused upon the lotus feet of the Lord. So, that is how one's absorption in the Lord will help us to do the activities but still not get attached or connected to this material world. Also, there is nice story about Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where how devotees, when they are in this stage of a Brahman, they do some activities in this material world, but still they are not attached to this material world. Then there is nice story in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 9. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in a South India yatra, and he went to this Sri Shailam, and after that he went to the Madurai. So there was a Brahmana whom Ramchandra Vipra, who invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his home maybe in the mid time, after 11-12 o'clock, and Mahaprabhu asked him, where is the food? I have come for the lunch, you have invited. And then this Brahmana said, actually we are staying in a forest, my house is such a small, and Lakshmana went to collect some flowers and leaves and the fruits, And when he will come back with everything, then I will cook you and feed. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood his mood. He was so absorbed into the Ramayana Leela, and he was feeling that now Lakshmana has went to the forest to collect flowers, fruits, everything for Lord Ram. And before Ram, how could I eat? And then after some time, he was still so morose. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, now it's already 3 o'clock, somehow you cook something. So without like heavy heart, he's cooked something in and just paid Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he personally could not honor it. Then again Mahaprabhu asked, you should also eat, why you are not honoring? Then he said, actually, Mother Sita has been taken by this Daitya Ravana, and when she has been taken by a Ravana, she has been touched by such a Daitya, how can I eat a food when she has been touched and taken by a Ravana? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood the mood of this Ramchandra Vipra, and then he practically said, actually it's a true that Ravana took Sita, but that was not the real Sita, that was Maya Sita which came from Agni, and Agnidev hide the real Sita and the Maya Sita was taken by Ravana, so you don't have to worry. Still he was not satisfied, but somehow then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went ahead, he went to Rameshwaram, and there he found the scriptures, and in that scriptures he found that version where Lord Ramchandra's pastime is described in detail about how that a real Sita was taken by Agni Dev and the Maya Sita was came out of the Agni, and that has been taken by Ravana. Ravana never touched the Sita. And afterwards, in Agni Pariksha, the real Sita came out with the Ram. And when this Vipra read that pastime, like personally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back from Rameshwar to Madurai, showed that pastime, and when he read it, and then he got satisfied, and then he happily took prasad from that time. So this is how, when one is on a Brahman stage, he is there in this material world, but still absorbed into the spiritual world. And today is also the occasion of this Ashadi Ekadashi, which is such a wonderful day when we can hear wonderful pastimes of Lord Vitthala, where there are thousands and millions of the pastimes of his devotees, where devotees are so absorbed in the lotus feet of Vitthala, chanting his names and doing all these varis and dindis, and absorbed into the service of the Vitthala. So today is Ashadi Ekadashi. So I would also like to speak a little bit about this Ekadashi, which is such an auspicious time. And this Ekadashi, Ashadi Ekadashi, is also known as the Shayana Ekadashi. Sometimes it's also popular as Deva Shayana Ekadashi or Padma Ekadashi or Maha Ekadashi, or sometimes also named as Vishnu Ekshayana Ekadashi. So there are various names given to this Ekadashi. And also from this Ekadashi, the Chaturmasa begin somewhere. It's from the Purnima. Chaturmasa starts from this Ashad to Ashad, Shravan, Ashwin, Kartik. And some calculates from this Ekadashi day, some calculates from the Purnima day, whatever it is, but for 4 months this Chaturmasa is performed, where devotees come together and they perform little austerities and try to remember the Lord and perform as much as Krishna Katha, Kirtan, and stay in association of devotees, reduce their traveling, reduce their other activities, and try to focus as much as possible on the lotus feet of the Lord. So on this Ekadashi, there is a wonderful story about this Shayana Ekadashi. Since Shayana, what shows Lord goes to the Yoga Nidra. When we say Lord sleeps, it's not like sleeping like us. When we sleep completely into the mode of ignorance. Like we don't remember when we get up what has happened in the sleep. But when Lord sleeps, Even in the sleep mode, all the functions are happening and he remembers everything and he knows everything what's happening. So Lord sleep does not mean he sleep means everything else is stopped. Everything is going on and he remembers and he knows everything. He just goes to the Yoga Nidra. That's why this Ekadashi is known as Shayana Ekadashi. And after 4 months he gets up, and that's why like Shukla Paksha Kartik Ekadashi, which is also called as Uthana Ekadashi, when Lord wakes up. So it's not like 4 months when Lord sleep for 1 month, 4 months. For us it's a 4 months, for Lord it's few moments only. And on that Ekadashi he gets up. So this Shayana Ekadashi, there is wonderful story when Yudhishthira Maharaj comes to Lord Krishna and asks about the glories of this Ekadashi, and Lord Krishna tells him about one same question was asked by Narad Muni to Brahmaji, that could you please make me understand the glory of this Shayana Ekadashi or this Ashadi Ekadashi. Then Lord Brahma tells Narad Muni the story from the scriptures, that in a Satyuga there was a king, Mandata, who was very pious and very honest king and very concerned about his whole praja. And that's why there was whole opulence and everything was very nicely, everything was well, and praja was also very happy. But somehow there was a feminine for like drought for subsequent 3 years. And king also could not understand what's the reason for this drought continuously for 3 years. And then whole praja went to the king and told that, dear king, please do something. We were very happy in your kingdom for since long years, but last 3 years there is not even a drop of rains. So do something for this. And king also thought, I did not did any sinful activities, I don't remember anything. And if something is happening in a kingdom, so I am responsible for that. And there must be like some sinful activities happened by me because of that whole praja is suffering. So he tried to remember, but he could not. And then he finally understood that I should do something. Although I have not done any sinful activities, but since the praja is suffering, I should do something. And so he took his chariot and went to the forest. So on the way, he met with the Angira Muni, the son of Brahmaji. He offered obeisances and asked for the benediction. And then Angira Muni asked, how is your kingdom? And then subsequently, Maharaj Mandata reported everything. Last 3 years, there is a continuous drought. So I don't understand why it is. So could you please give some solution? And then Angira Muni in meditation, he understands and he says, because this is a Satyuga and some Shudra has, he is performing austerities and doing penances, doing tapasya. And as per the laws of this yoga, only Dvijaj, the Viparas are allowed to do austerities. And if Shudra is doing, that's considered as sinful. And because he is doing that sin, your whole kingdom is suffering because of a drought. So you can go and kill him. But now King Mandata was very honest and he was very caring to the praja. He said he is such an innocent person. He just went and started austerities in an innocent way. How can I kill him? Can you give some other solution? And then Angira Muni again gives solution. So what do you do? The coming is now Shukla Paksha Ekadashi, which is also called as the Devashayana Ekadashi or Padma Ekadashi. If you perform austerities and vrata, fasting vrata on this Ekadashi, you will get all benedictions and you will get the rains. And that is how King Mandata came back. He did penances and he took this vrata on Ekadashi, Shayana Ekadashi, and immediately rain started and everything was well in the kingdom of Mandata. So this is the glory of Ekadashi, Ashadi Ekadashi or Devashayana Ekadashi. So on this Ekadashi, in a Maharashtra, this very special celebration of dindis and in thousands, like in millions, people goes to the Pandharpur Dham and take darshan. For a darshan of few moments, they travel for more than like 18 to 20 days, and that is what we call it as a vari. So in Pandharpur Dham, there are four most important varis or the yatras in the year. So first is considered as Chaitra Vari or Shuddha Ekadashi Vari or Kamada Ekadashi Vari, which is there in a Chaitra Shukla Paksha Ekadashi, where people from Karnataka, Telangana and few dindis from Gujarat, Maharashtra also visits. Then second is on this Ashadi or Shaina Ekadashi. So dindis from all over the Maharashtra, more than 300 to 400 kilometers, they walk fro and back and in a group. That's why it's called as a dindi. And then third is in a Kartik month, when people, the Shukla Paksha Ekadashi in a Kartik, they go to the Pandharpur Dham. And fourth is in a Maghi Vari or Jaya Ekadashi, which comes in the month of Magh Shukla Paksha. So these four important varis or the yatras are done by varkaris in a Maharashtra and many other devotees, even in the Karnataka, Telangana, Andhra, even Gujarat. They go to this Pandharpur Dham and in a groups, that's why it is called as Dindi. And these groups are been started since like more than 700 to 8 years. The exact dates and time is not mentioned, but it's believed that before Jnaneshwar Maharaj and Tukaram Maharaj, their fathers, grandfathers, they also used to do these varis. And devotees in a group in front of Palaki palanquin, they do the constant kirtan of Lord Vithala, they chant Ram Krishna Hari and different bhajans of Vithala. The person leads with the veena, he continuously chants the holy name. There are many people in the rows with the kartals and mridangas, pakhwad, they keep on chanting various bhajans and the holy name of the Lord, Ram Krishna Hari. And the ladies behind, like having a tulsi on the head with traditional dress of sari, and they also keep on chanting the holy name of the Lord. So with lot of faith on the Lord and to have a darshan for few seconds, the millions of the people throughout the Maharashtra and other states also travels to these varis. Especially this Ashadi Ekadashi Vari is very famous, and more than 500 different dindis, groups from the Maharashtra, Karnataka, Telangana, Gujarat, groups they travel towards the Pandharpur by walking. So there are four famous groups or palanquins taken to these varis. That one is from Alandi, where Palaki or palanquin of Jnaneshwar with their lotus feet slippers has been decorated and is started from Alandi. Then from Dehu, Tukaram Maharaja's, the slippers are taken in the Palaki and they are also taken towards Pandharpur. And also from Nivrattinath Maharaja's lotus slippers are taken from Trimbakeshwar. And again, Ekanath Maharaja's slippers are taken from Paithan, Aurangabad, Sambhajinagar now. And Kabir, a North Indian, very great devotee of Ram, his slippers also taken from North India and they are taken to Pandharpur. So these different palakis with a group of devotees chanting constant name of a Vithala and the various bhajans and chanting the holy name Ram Krishna Hari, they keep on moving for 18 to 20 days in a different from different directions and come to the Pandharpur before this Ashadi Ekadashi. And just 3 kilometers from there, the day before yesterday, all of them arrived there, and today everyone goes to the darshan. And after like 18 to 20 days darshan traveling, they have to take a darshan for a seconds. For that seconds darshan, they travel so much. So that's the faith these varkaris have, like walking for 18 to 20 days continuously and just have a darshan for a seconds. So this faith, like And after darshan, we can see, go there and see how they become so ecstatic after taking darshan of the Lord. It's just for seconds they touch the head and just they have to move because thousands of people are waiting in the row. And after the darshan, they just become in ecstasy, keep on dancing, chanting the holy name of the Lord, and they become so happy. Like after all, after 18 to 20 days travel, they got the darshan of the Lord. So that's the faith they have on Vithala, the Lord Panduranga. And with that faith, they keep on traveling for 18 to 20 days and come for darshan. There is also one nice story how the people have so much faith that once there was one child who was also in the Wari, Dindi. And one of the guard, police guard, he asked the child, "So you have come like long way for 18, 20 days walking here to take darshan of the Vithala. Have you seen Vithala, Pandurang sometime? If you have not seen, why you have walked so much?" So then child just thought of little bit and he said, "So, dear God, my dear sir, when you finish this yatra or this dindi or this aikadashi, you go to your village, right?" He said, "Yes." "So is there any incident when you are there in a village and you see or you heard the thief has come and dogs start barking or chasing after thief?" He said, "Yes, many times it happens. In the night when thieves or some unknown person come, a dog sees him and start chasing or the barking at him." Then he says, "What happens next?" Then he said, God said, "Okay, then many dogs come, they also start barking and they also run after this dog and everyone start chasing the thief." So then this boy said, "The only first dog has seen the thief, but others just followed and they started barking. Keeping faith, what first has seen is the right." And this boy said, "If a dog can keep faith upon another dog, why I can't keep faith upon other devotees? If so many devotees like Tukaram Maharaj, Jnaneshwar Maharaj, so many people, so many devotees coming for years together to take a darshan of the Lord, although I may not have seen the Lord, but there are so many devotees already seen Lord, they have taken darshan and they got purified and they perform devotional service so nicely. So if dog can keep faith on a dog, so why I can't keep faith on the devotees?" So with that faith, so all the worker is keeping faith on acharyas, the great devotees, they keep on traveling to this Pandharpur everywhere on this Ashadi, Kartiki, Chaitra and Maghi, Ekadashivari every year. So this Pandharpur Wari or this Dindi has been started like 700 to 800 years old tradition. Initially, it was not so organized, but in the era like 1685, one of the great chief warrior of Shinde Gwalior, Mr. Haibatrao Baba Arfalkar, he organized this all dindis in a proper way and made all the systems, made a list of all dindis coming from all the Maharashtra, Karnataka, Andhra, Gujarat, and he made like who will be in the front. So whenever there are palkis like Jnaneshwar Maharaj Palki, Tukaram Maharaj Palki, then Nivratti Maharaj Palki, then Kabir Maharaj and Santa Kabirji and Eknath Maharaj. So there will be some various palkis in various dindis in front of palki and there are some behind that. And these leading parties or dindis will keep on constantly chanting and others will be there to support them. And in the same like pattern for years together, the same like all dindis travel, their main persons are registered, the names are registered and everyone follows this system nicely. And every year from Dehu, it starts. From Alandi it starts, from Trimbakeshwar it starts, from Paithan it starts, from various places of India and devotees travel towards the Pandharpur. So, they visit the Pandharpur Dham, they take the darshan of Lord Panduranga, who is so merciful. As we see, this is the only one deity where you can directly go and touch the lotus feet of the Lord. And it's been like mentioned, actually initially devotees were allowed to hug the Lord directly, but later on management, because the deity is made of the shilpa and it get deteriorated if continuously people keep on hugging. So then it's that tradition is stopped, and now they are allowed to just put their head or hand on the lotus feet of the Lord. So this Pandharpur Dham, whose glories are being sung in the Shastras, and the various names are given to this Pandharpur Dham. So I'll try to keep it as short as possible, because there are so many wonderful pastimes about the Lord in the Pandharpur Dham, and so many wonderful devotees with whom Lord has reciprocated. The Panduranga Vithal is a deity where there are so many devotees with whom Lord has reciprocated personally. Like here, yes, Shivanand Shampuru is there. He must be like having some reciprocation with the Lord Vrindavan Bihari. And many devotees, they also have some reciprocation with Giriraji, Madan Mohan. But in a Pandharpur, so many devotees with whom Lord every day plays, Lord goes to the home, cooks for the devotees, Lord goes to the home, make cow dung cakes, Lord goes and make the floor in the house, and so many things, such a reciprocation with the devotees. That's how the Pandharpur is. We see so many places, so many devotees, and Lord personally coming and being with the devotees. So that is how the glory of this Vithala deity or the Pandurang. So this Pandharpur Dham is been glorified in various Shastras, and especially this has given a various names like Pandharpur, or it's been also called as Dakshina Dwarka. Also Pandharpur Dham is famous as Bhu Vaikuntha, where His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj wrote nice book upon that, Bhu Vaikuntha Pandharpur. Then it's also been called as Pandhari or Pandharipur, Pandurangapur, Pondrikshetra. It's one of the name is also Pondrikshetra. Then it's been in a Telangana, it's been also called as Pandarange or Pandurangapalli. Yeah, because of the way of dancing, the devotees come there. It's been also called as Nada Brahma place, where devotees come to the Lord in a dancing pose and keep on chanting the holy name constantly. That's why it's been also called as a Nada Brahma Kshetra. And it's been also called as Dindirvan, because Daitya Dindirvan has been killed there. And it's also been called as a Lohadanda Kshetra. So various names of the Pandharpur Kshetra are given in the Shastras. And why Lord Krishna or Vithala come to this place? The three main reasons are given why Lord Vithala or Panduranga came to this place. So with these three reasons, we'll try to sum up the things. So first reason why Lord came to this place is to meet Rukmini and console her. So story goes, in one of the kalpa, when Srimati Radharani, she was very desperate to meet Krishna, and one time she went to Dwarka to meet Krishna. And she was like, she went to the Dwarka and she was like, she entered into the palace where Krishna was there. And Krishna, as soon as he sees Radharani has come to this place, immediately he also wanted to have her association, and he sat next to her and started talking about Vrindavan, and they were in ecstasy. And that time Rukmini came and she saw Krishna with another like girl. And it was never an experience for her, because she also don't know, like Krishna has 16,000 different forms and he has expanded himself into the different palaces. That's why she every day was alone with Krishna all the time. But now first time she saw Krishna is with some other girl. So she was very unhappy. And she went in a manalila. So where to go? So from Dwarka she started walking to her father's home, is like near Nagpur, Kaundinyapur. Instead going there, then she turned towards right, and she went to this Dindir one and started austerities and went into the Manalila. And so when Krishna understood that Rukmini is not happy and she went in a Manalila, so he started searching her. Then she first went to the Gokul. He met with the all Gopas, friends, cows. Then from there he started again walking towards Dwarka. On the way he came to this place, Dindirvan, where he first sat on one of the hill, which is called as Gopalpura now, where he had a breakfast with the Gopas. Then he had word to the cows, I will finish my important work and will come back. So there's a nice place called as Gopalpura, which is also considered as non-different from Govardhan, where all Gopas and cows came and Krishna had a breakfast with them. And then he went to see Rukmini. So that's the one reason why Krishna came to this Dindirvan. Then another reason is given about his promise which he has given to the Dindirava Asura or a Daitya. So story goes that there was an Asura called Dindirava, and he was so powerful, he started attacking all the three planetary people, and he owned everything and started creating nuisance everywhere. Then the king of Devatas, he went to the Brahma saying that he is creating such a nuisance, please help us. And then this Brahmaji went to the Vishnu, and then Vishnu promised them, don't worry, I will take a birth and I will kill this Asura, Dindirava. Then there was a Brahmana, Sri Chandra, who did a lot of austerities, and he pleased the Lord Shiva, and he asked, I want a son which is like you or a Vishnu. And then Shiva, pleased with his austerity, he gave benediction, you will have a son like a Vishnu, or you will have a son Vishnu as your son. And then this Sri Chandra gave birth to the son whose name was Mallikarjun. And this Mallikarjun, he was trained by Sri Chandra very nicely, and since he was a Kshatriya, he was every day going for like seeing the Praja, say, sitting on chariot and seeing the whole kingdom. So one day when he was traveling, that time this Dindirava Asura Daitya attack on the Mallikarjun. And since this avatar has been taken for killing Dindirava, there was a furious fight between Dindirava and Mallikarjun. And Mallikarjun, with his gada, he hit on the head of this Dindirava Asura. And when he got hitted, somehow he chanted Hari Hari. And because he chanted Hari Hari at the end of his life, the Lord has to deliver him. Because we see from the Shastras, whoever remembers Krishna at the time of death, he will come to the Krishna. So Anta Kale Cha Mameva. So we see the pastime of even Ajamil, when he remembered Narayan, he was saved from the hellish condition of life. So in the same way, when Dindirava remember said Hari Hari, Mallikarjun become very happy because he is Vishnu himself. He took Dindirava in his hands and said, you ask, how come you chanted name of Hari? So I want to give some benediction to you. And then Dindirava said, since I am going to die, but this was Gada has killed me, so this should also remain here to kill all the anarthas of the Vaishnavas in the future. And this place should be named after me, and you should also stay here for a long so that devotees can come and take benediction, so and take your blessings. So Lord Vishnu or Mallikarjun promised Dindirava that since you have asked and you have remembered me, and this is benediction I am giving to you, I will come in the future and stayed in this vana, and this place will be named after you as Dindirvan. From that time, this place is also named as Dindirvan. And there is another very wonderful pastime about how Lord come here then finally. That is, there was a devotee named Pundalika who was Muchukunda in his last birth. And his parents were Muktabai and Janodev, who were Brahmin and very cultured family. But somehow this Pundalik from birth, although he had such a nice parents, very caring, very cultured, but this Pundalika did not have good association and not good habits. He was not respecting his parents, doing many nonsense things and not acting as a good Brahmana. So parents were fed up with his behavior and they thought of leaving this place and going for Kashi. So they married this Pundalika and then they started their journey. They requested Pundalika again, would you like to come? But he refused to come. Then both of them, Muktabai and Janudev, they started for a Kashi Yatra. And then somehow many people, they also go to the Kashi from this place. They, while going, they requested Pundalika, would you like to come? When Pundalik heard so many people are going to the Kashi, so let us see how Kashi is. I want to just see. He was not interested for any like spiritual credits or some spiritual activities. But so many people are going, so he was inquisitive to understand what Kashi is about. So on the way, he was on the horse with the wife. So on the way, he happens to visit a Kukkutta Swami ashram. And he went and directly asked this Kukkutta Swami that which is the way to the Kashi. And this Kukkutta Swami understood he is uncultured, although he is a Brahmana. And he is disrespecting me, talking in an arrogant way. So Kukkutta Swami said, I don't know where Kashi is because he has not visited before. And then Pundalika again in arrogant voice said, you don't know, you are looks like a Brahmana and Sant and you have not visited Kashi. What's the use of your life? He used bad words and then offended Kukkutta Swami. But Kukkutta Swami went in ashram without saying anything. And after some time, Pundalika could see there were three women coming to this ashram and they were looking very ugly, very thirsty and very like kind of hungry and their body was not having such a beautiful luster. So all of these three women came into the ashram. They took brooms, they cleaned the ashram, did some spiritual activities, got some flowers and decorated the altar and served there. And after some time, he could see those ugly women, they change into the effulgent, very beautiful, and they have such a nice luster. He could not understand what's happening. And then he directly met them and asked, how is that you came in with such an ugly form and now you have become so beautiful and luster has been glowing from your body? How is that? And all of these three ladies said in one voice, you offended our guru or this sant. We will not tell you anything. But then again he said, I am really offender. I did a nonsense thing. Please forgive me for that. But please tell, who are you? Then all these three ladies tell, we are like Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati. And throughout the day people come, they put their sins in us. That's why our luster becomes like we become ugly and such like form. And when come to this ashram, when we serve this devotee, then we again get purified and go into our original form. This is the beauty of this place, or this is how this Kukkutta Swami's ashram is so powerful. So when Pundalika understood that there's a power of this place, then he surrenders to Kukkutta Swami and asks him to instruct. And with the instructions of Kukkutta Swami, then he decided to serve his parents. He started serving his parents so nicely with the instructions of Kukkutta Swami. And then the pastimes come when Lord Krishna, who came to see Rukmini, now he went to the Pundalika and he asked, I have come, please give me a place. And Pundalika said, actually I am serving my parents, so you please wait for some time. And he gives the bricks to stand. And that is how Lord Vitthala is standing on that brick for the years together. And this Pundalika is serving his parents. This is how the three reasons why Lord Panduranga came to this place of Pandharpur. And wonderful pastimes of Vitthala with his devotees, which are described in this Bhuvaikuntha. And there are many other saints like Lord Ekanath, Lord Namdev, Lord Tukaram, Janabai, Sukhobai, Muktabai, whom Lord Vitthala has like personally been reciprocated with their devotion, their service, and blessed them for getting pure devotional service. So today is a nice occasion of this Ashadi Ekadashi, wherein we can pray for Lord Vitthala to bless us also to get that pure devotional service to him, and we can get those blessings on such auspicious occasion. Hare Krishna. It's already 19. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.